In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Our oldest child, Anna, was born in 1976 at a time when fathers were permitted in both labor and delivery rooms in hospitals, and when gender was rarely known until birth. I was in my second year at the seminary, and a number of my friends and classmates, all with their clerical collars, were waiting in the labor and delivery waiting room. I was at St. Louis Lutheran Hospital, and I remember a fast walk down the halls, wearing my scrubs, still wearing my hat and my little booties, and I entered the waiting room and I announced, "It's a girl." And after the high fives and the congratulatory hugs, I turned to leave and to go back to Peggy and our infant daughter. And as I turned, there was a woman patient standing in the doorway of the waiting room wearing a hospital gown. She had a big smile on her face, and she said to me, "When I saw you coming down the hall, I could see in your face that it was good news. So I followed you because I needed to hear good news." I learned an important lesson that day about what kind of message is conveyed to others by just the look on your face and the bearing of your person. I cannot imagine anyone ever not having an "I can't wait to tell them" circumstance, a time when we have experienced some blessing and have good news to share. Epiphany is the season in which we are now learning. Epiphany means manifestation or revelation. And epiphany is a manifestation of the divine or a sudden perception of the essential nature and the meaning of something. Wouldn't the epiphany message, which reveals Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, prompt an "I can't wait to tell them" mindset? Yet, evangelism is not a popular word. It makes us feel guilty about not talking about Jesus. It carries images of knocking on doors and annoying people and being personally rejected. It reminds us that some of us are slow to talk about our faith. Some say it's because they don't really know how. Others say it's because they like to defer to someone else, like their pastor. At a deeper level, it may signal that they've lost the wonder and the joy that accompanies knowing who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. If we feel no desire to introduce others to Christ, perhaps we are far from our first passion as Christians and as a church to reach out offering the only solution to a desperate world in sin. Perhaps our faith or our own discipleship is in question. Isn't there a disconnect when we know the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, yet fail to point others to him? The divinely inspired St. Paul writes in Romans 1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes." And again he writes in Romans 10, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Likewise, the divinely inspired St. Peter writes in his first letter, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Certainly, saving faith is personal, but it is not private. The devil, the world, and our own sinful nature are all behind the sin of holding our tongues with regard to Christian witness. How will we escape then the temporal and eternal punishment of God for such sin? The place to begin? Repentance, confession, and forgiveness. Because God does not want to condemn us, he calls and enables us to repent. The Holy Spirit leads us to have sorrow for our rebellion against the Lord of heaven and earth, and to believe indeed that sin has been forgiven and grace has been obtained through Christ. And with that faith, then, we desire to do better than to keep on sinning. When we repent, then God forgives us our sinful nature and all our actual sins. He forgives us for Jesus' sake. In today's gospel, we hear the all-important message conveyed by John the Baptizer. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The phrase "Lamb of God" has a beautifully rich Old Testament background that would have been familiar to John's hearers. Old Testament imagery that may come to mind include the ram that was substituted for Abraham's offering of Isaac, the lamb of the Passover, the blood that was on the door to avert the destroying angel in Egypt, the offering of the sin offering imagery of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Which of those images is correct? It appears to me that John is making a general allusion to sacrifice in the Old Testament, because all of these images point to the fulfillment of Christ's sacrifice for us. And it is significant to note that John is not only calling Jesus the Lamb of God, but he adds, "who takes away the sin of the world." The word "sin" in the Greek is a singular noun, and so focuses our attention not on individual sin, which some people try to play down, but to the repulsive condition of humanity in its state of rebellion, its separation from God, and its facing of spiritual death. This is what the Lamb of God takes away by his sacrificial death and his victorious resurrection. The Greek word for world is cosmos, from which we get the same word. This might be the Holy Spirit's way of emphasizing the importance and significance of Christ's work of redemption. First, Christ's redeeming work is not limited to a particular place or people. Second, not just sin with its guilt and shame, but also the results of sin in causing all of creation to be removed from a right relationship with God. Christ redeems not just the sin of humankind, but the effect of sin in the world. Christ carried all of your sin and the sin of all humankind in his body at the cross. He is your substitute, the innocent for the guilty. At the cross, he suffered and died in your place to satisfy God's wrath for your sins. And that, together with his resurrection from the dead, not only ensures victory over Satan and sin and death, but forgiveness, life, and salvation are now available through faith in him. The task and purpose of John the Baptizer was to point people to Jesus so that they would look to the Lamb. He proclaimed the Lamb of God as the Son of God. He also revealed him as the Messiah to the people of Israel. And John proclaimed that Jesus was the one chosen by the Spirit. His statement, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain," shows us that the Holy Spirit leads people to Jesus as it did John. Those whom the Spirit brings to faith then follow Jesus by witnessing to Christ. And through this witnessing, the Holy Spirit leads others to Christ. As the Lord declared through Isaiah in today's Old Testament reading, "I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." John pointed two of his own disciples to Christ, and they followed him. Jesus asked them, "What are you seeking?" Their answer, "Where are you staying?" seems a bit odd. Yet Jesus takes them where they are, as he does with us. No reprimand, no belittling their lack of deep theological understanding. No, Christ drew them to himself, and they received grace in his invitation. "Come, and you will see." And Jesus offers the same invitation to us. And in doing so, Jesus brings us into fellowship with himself, the Father, and the Spirit. And so we experience more than an answer to their strange question concerning Jesus' lodging. We have the reality of his presence in our lives. We experience his forgiveness. He comes to us in his word in all of its forms, and he invites us to look to him as the Lamb. He comes to us in his word, in the Holy Scriptures, read, spoken, and expounded here among us. He comes to us in the word connected to the water of holy baptism, which brings us into the kingdom and creates faith. He comes to us in the word of the Holy Supper, the word that makes the elements of bread and wine to nourish us with his true body and his true blood given and shed for us. He comes to us in the word of holy absolution, which comforts us and releases us from despair. Jesus invites and promises, "Come and you will see." And so we look to the Lamb. Consider what looking to the Lamb does. Looking to the Lamb transforms us, and the evidence of faith is seen in the change that takes place in our lives. The Word of God uses words like born again, rebirth, regeneration, renewal, transformation. When we look to the Lamb, we are never again the same. We are not only free from sin and from the effects of sin, we are free from the power of sin. We are free to serve him, free to do good works, free to witness, free to bring others to the Lamb, as Andrew did with Peter, his brother. In today's epistle, St. Paul declares that we have the testimony about Christ confirmed in us. And this is what our world needs. We who have been transformed and nourished by word and sacrament now bring the good news of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not only manifested to us, but manifested through us, evident in our lives for people to notice. their eyes seeing in us something that causes them to want to hear good news. God will bless the opportunities we have to share Jesus' invitation. Come, and you will see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.